So this is kind of what we started last week, and then we called an audible and had some of you guys share. And going through a few things as we're just pondering the last year or so and thinking about, all right, how do I go forward? How do I do 2024 well? How do I do this well? How many want to do it well? You want to have a great year this year? All right. Well, I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm going to give you a few keys that aren't like anything new, but just challenging you that there's some things that we can do as we close out one year and go into the next year. If we practice a few of these kind of contemplative things, I think it really will help position us to do the things that we need to do to make 2024 a great year. So the one that we kind of started with last week was what do I need to remember? And trust me, there's things you need to remember. Anyone forget to put their blinker on ever? Anyone forget to stop at a stop sign accidentally? I saw your names in the paper, so don't tell me about it. This was our verse from last week. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works, and I consider what your hands have done. It is so good for us as we're trying to move forward that we remember what God has done in the past. It is imperative for us to not repeat the same mistakes that we've done. It's imperative for us to have an accurate view of God, that we remember, that we recall, that we bring back to our mind, oh yeah, God did that last year. Wow. And I was doing that this week. Actually, all of these that are up here, I have practiced in the last few weeks a lot. And so I remember. So let's remember what? How many times, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many times do we pray and pray and pray and pray for something and then maybe forget about it for just a little bit and then God answers the prayer? And then we just kind of go on with our life. And that's the end of the story. Like the prayer got answered. We prayed the prayer got answered, and we never gave God credit for it. We never thanked him for it. We never, like, this is not to bring guilt and shame, but just like, let's not do that. If we're going to pray prayers, if people are going to be praying for us, and then God shows up, let's make that a thank you Jesus party, right? Let's remember what God has done, because that's very helpful for us. What else are we remembering? We're remembering God moments. Times that God shows up, times that we meet with him, times that were special to us. And has anyone ever, and you can raise your hands if you want, but has anyone ever had the old writers back in the Desert Fathers, they called it a dark night of the soul. Anyone ever had one of those moments where you know you love Jesus, but you just can't feel God? Like he just feels really distant. Anyone ever had one of those times? That's one of the reasons why we need to remember our God moments. I need to remember those times that God was near, those times that God did breathe on my life, that he did show up, that he did give me revelation from his word. We need to remember prophetic words. If you've had someone, man, I just see this over your life or whatever, you know, tuck that away. And we need to remember them. We need to remember what God has said through someone else. We need to remember our revelations from Scripture. Right? Do you guys keep a journal or take notes or write in your Bibles? Like, when God's revealing things, he's not just saying it to just kind of say, oh, look, this is cool. Like, we want to write that down. We want to remember that. We want to apply it to our lives. Fulfilled prophetic words. There's another one. When God's spoken something over your life through someone else, and then it actually comes to pass, we want to remember that and go, thank you, God, for giving me a heads up so that I could prepare my heart or do what needed to be done and that you came through. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just a few things. Well, what do we need to remember? Let's remember these things. Remember the times that God came through for you, right? Whether it was by way of an answered prayer or sometimes it just God was there to sustain you or the situation changed or whatever. And I was just thinking about a ton of those this last couple of weeks. Wow, God, where would I be at if, how different would this look if you'd not shown up with that? Wow, that was so amazing, God, what you did. And you can't overdo that. You can't overdo your thanks to God for showing up. You can't overdo your calling that to mind and being grateful for that. That blesses God. It's a good thing. It's healthy for you, and God likes it. So let's do that. Let's practice that. So what else? Oh, yeah, can't use this. I should move this because I'll keep grabbing it. There we go. So what happens? No? All right. Psalm 105. says this: give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell about his wondrous works. We heard a lot of that from George this morning. Talk about it. Boast in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wondrous works he has done, his wonders and the judgments he's pronounced. Remember it. Don't forget it. Don't let it get in your mind and then leak out and then never come back to memory. Remember that. It's good things to remember. So what happens when we remember God? It changes our focus. So God, nothing else has to happen except for you remembering to actually change what you're thinking about and focusing on. Anyone ever struggle with your thoughts? I know from our series on thoughts that we all do, right? And how often we're looking to the future for God to do something, whatever, when all we have to do is stop and remember what God has already done. It changes our focus. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh yeah, God, you are good. Like you're looking at Jesus now. Changes our focus. It releases joy. When you remember what God did in the past, how he showed up, how he came through for you, the good times that God's given you, the blessings that he's put into your life, when you remember that, when you call that back to mind and you rehearse that in your brain, it releases the right chemicals, it centers your spirit in the right place, and you're joyful. Smile at somebody. When you remember, God is praised and he's glorified. Are we, yes or no, commanded to praise God? You're right. And so by remembering, you're praising God. You're thanking him for his works. You say, God, you're so awesome. Thanks for doing that. Man, that's so amazing that you showed up in that way, that you showed me out of scripture. You helped me be a Sunday school teacher and a nursery worker. Wow, that was powerful, and lots of lives were touched. Amen. When you remember God, you see that God's done more than you thought. This is not an ad, because it's probably not the best thing, but we use Google Photos, and so it's linked to our phones and then our computer. And so that's kind of what were we doing on this day? I have a journal as well, but it's the easiest is for me to go in there and search someone's name, and I can see, you know, their things, or I feed my starving children. I looked up that, and it was on my Google Photos, and we were there. And if it has text, it'll find it. And so looking through that, when we go looking through those, so we got them all the way back to 2003 on Google Photos. And so when we look through those, we go, oh, yeah, God did that. Oh, yeah, I forgot all those people got baptized. Oh, yeah, I forgot that youth thing when all those kids got saved. Oh, wow. And it's so good to remember. And then you realize that God's doing more than you thought. Sometimes, anyone ever had a feeling that does not correspond to reality? Sometimes you feel like, I just don't know if God's doing anything in my life. And you begin to rehearse and remember all the things that God has done. And you realize that God's doing more than often we give him credit for or think of or remember. So we remember that, we call it back to mind, and it changes our perspective of God. We're like, oh yeah, God, you're moving way more than I thought you were. And if you were moving then, you'll be moving forward, right? It creates an environment of faith. When you remember all the good things that God did, when you remember how he showed up for you, it stirs faith in your heart. You're like, okay, if you did that once, you can do it again. Wow, I remember thinking that was an impossible situation, and you showed up. And I feel like I'm in an impossible situation right now, but I know that you showed up in my previous impossible situation. I remember that. I remember that. That's a good thing. And last thing is others. When you are remembering, if it comes out of your mouth, if you're telling your friends about it, or you're standing up in front of people preaching about it, or you're talking around the water cooler at work about it, it helps others hear about the works of God. It's what George said this morning. Testify. Man, testify of Jesus. Talk about it. Talk about what he's done. Remember that. Don't let it just go into the past and just be a part of a opaque, foggy, distant memory. Remember what God's done. So what happens when we don't remember God? Our reality gets distorted. We're really, really good at making up really, really bad scenarios that are really, really not true. Right? Not sure if you guys are tired or you just would rather hear someone else preach today. Both, yes. Reality gets distorted. Facts tend to get a little fuzzy in our heads. So when you recall the things of God, it helps focus things on what really happened, right? Anyone ever made one of these statements? It always is something like that, or it never is something. I don't think that's really true. Often that's not true. That's not so true, husbands and wives. That's often not true. So reality gets distorted when we don't remember. God becomes smaller and more distant. When you don't remember the things that God showed you, the words that he's spoken over you, the revelation from his word, the times in his presence, when you forget that, when you don't remember that, God just seems like the big man in the sky far off somewhere. And you might know in your head that that's not true. I know the Lord's with me, but it doesn't feel like that. He gets more distant. Well, I can pray to him, but hopefully he hears me. But if we keep rehearsing how he showed up, how he's been with us, how he was near, how he was present, how he walked with us through this dark time, how he answered us in our time of need, we remember those, and all of a sudden God can feel close again. And feel like, all right, God, I know that you haven't left me. Amen? If we don't remember, others can get robbed. I mean, this is obviously the converse of the former slides. And then our own faith shrinks. Just by the very act of not remembering what God has done, it can let our faith kind of atrophy. And over and over and over again, I only put just a couple verses up, but you can find all over in Scripture where it talks about remembering. Remember what the Lord has done. Remember, Dory. Remember how good he was, right? Remember. Remember. Remember how he showed up. Remember how he changed lives. Remember how he answered prayers. And then our faith grows with that. And then the last one is, I was having a hard time trying to figure out how to phrase this, but when we don't remember, it's hard for us to build on what God has already done. See, God shows up in our life, but then sometimes we have to kind of start from scratch because we forget about how good God was just months ago or just weeks ago. We have to kind of relearn that. But if we bring it back to remembrance and we remember the truths from Scripture, we remember how God's revelation touched our hearts, remember how he showed up, it helps us to build going forward. And that's what we're doing. We're going forward. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. I have lulled everyone into a trance. You're sleeping with your eyes open. Psalm 63 says this. David said, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. In his remembering, there was a time and a place. There was a time and a place. He's like, hey, people, let me tell you how I remember. When I'm on my bed, through the watches of the night, multiple times, so that's multiple times, I remember God. It's like, you guys struggling today? All right, well, let me tell you what I do. When I'm laying in my bed, anyone ever feel dark when you're laying in your bed? Not in the dark, but you know what I mean. You know, like dark of the soul, right? Sometimes because all the noise is gone and it's just you, right? And David's like, hey, when I lay in my bed, let me tell you about one of the places that I remember God. He'll tell us of other places. But one of the places, when I'm laying in my bed through the night, I'll remember him. I won't just dream about flying squirrels and pink giraffes. I'm going to remember the Lord. I'm going to remember what he's done through the watches of the night. I'm going to remember you. Okay. Enough with remembering. Not enough doing it. Do it more. Enough talking about it. So what needs to be remembered? What needs to be revisited? What needs to be, so think about this last year. Think about maybe even longer than that. As we're going forward in 2024, what do you need to come back to? And so there's two of these out of these five that I'm going to show you. There's two that are kind of similar, and this is kind of similar to another one. And here's what I'm talking about. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia, this is verses 6 and 7, and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they were trying to do what God, they thought God wanted them to do. They were doing what God had commanded them to do, and it wasn't right for some reason. So sometimes in our lives, sometimes it's just not the right timing. And I don't know all what was going on in there, but the Holy Spirit was the one saying, not today. And they're like, well, we want to preach. And they're like, not in this moment, not in this place. And so there's times that God will stir something in you. He'll drop an idea in your heart. He'll put a plan in your spirit. And you know it's the Lord, but it's just not the right time yet. It's not the right time. So sometimes God will give you an idea or a nudge, but in order for that to really play out in your life, you need to be developed, right? So God will plant this seed in you, right? And there's millions of these stories of how God would just give someone this vision or this dream of, you know, whatever, having this national company or having this, you know, preaching to tens of thousands of people or running this big center where they're helping, you know, unwed mothers or whatever, and just legitimate stories. And often that didn't happen for like sometimes decades, but God would nudge them on that. But it's not either it wasn't the right time or they needed to still be developed. Sometimes God gives you just a little insight of something or gives you a little idea or gives you a little stirring in your spirit. But he does that so that we've got a goal to aim for, so that he can develop the things in us. Grow, right? Grow, right? Grow. Wake up. Grow. Yes. Okay, good. Sometimes God will speak something to your heart and others need to be prepared. Maybe there's other people that are coming along in this vision of your life or God put the thing in your heart that you need to reconcile with someone. And they're just not in the right spot yet. But you can cleanse your own heart, get rid of any kind of bitterness and work on unforgiveness, right? Get your own heart cleansed so that when the time is right, maybe you've tried calling them or whatever, but they're not ready yet. But you want to do everything on your part. So that's what I'm kind of talking about. One more of these. Oh, I guess two more of these. Sometimes God stirs something for a season, and then that season ends, but now it might be time. So this is one of mine. God had taken me a while through a season a while back and had developed a character trait in me that I needed, and that just saved my life in that season. And God, and so that is meant to continue on, but as the years have gone by, it's not that I don't do that anymore. It just that I was driving to town one day and I was just having a conversation with the Lord. I'm like, we need to revisit that, don't we? And I just felt the smile of God, like, yep. And it's something that I practice in my life all the time, but it was the shift, the focus needed to go back on that for a little bit. And sometimes in our life, we have whatever it is, different things are highlighted in different seasons. Maybe you need to revisit something that God already stirred in your heart or was working in you or whatever. And this is one that I like. This happens to me all the time. Tools or skills or insights that you've learned but you've forgotten about. That would be really helpful right now in the situation that you're in. If you, number one, remember, and then you're like, oh yeah, I went through a situation like this before. How did I get through that? Oh yeah, I remember God taught me to keep my mouth shut. Oh yeah, or God taught me to write things down. Or oh yeah, God taught me, right? And there's all these skills and tools. Maybe it's interpersonal. Maybe it's in your faith journey with God. And God taught you that, but we've forgotten about it, or we just set it aside. And this might be a season where there's something that God is saying, hey, remember when I taught you that thing? You're going to really need that right now in this time. And so that's good. We need to remember, and then we might need to revisit something. Is there something in your life? And these are all questions that I'm thoroughly expecting you to ponder in your head as you leave today over the next couple of days and go, huh, is there something that I need to remember from this last year or a couple years or whatever? And is there something that I need to revisit? And this is your guys' favorite one. All right, the next one. What needs to be repented? Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out, and that what? Times of what? Refreshing may come from the Lord. And I get frustrated that repentance can get a bad name in the church. And, oh, we don't want to talk about that. And, yeah, we do want to talk about that. We want to talk about that a lot. Because I don't know about you. How many would love times of refreshing? That sounds really good. That sounds like an oasis in Jamaica to me. That's times of refreshing. I've never been to Jamaica, but I don't know. It sounds like a wonderful, you know, Crystal fanning me with a palm leaf and bringing me coconut milk or something. I don't know. No? Okay, well, just Mickey then, I guess. All right. But the key to that, the key to the refreshing, the key, the doorway is repentance. And it's the turning away from, well, I love how I keep referencing George this morning, but I keep referencing the endearing term that George called he and I, knuckleheads. Right? It's repenting of knucklehead things, doing things that are out of line with the character of God or contrary to his word, and going, oh, that's right. Ah, I'm going to stop that. And Lord, help me. Help me to turn from that, because that's only producing ill in my life. It's not producing life. I love this next verse, Acts 11. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. That leads to life. So what in my life today, as I'm looking backwards and looking forwards to 2024, what is it time for that to be done? It's time for that to be ejected out of my life. It's time for that to be cut off. What you know, I mean, whether it's, we could just go on and on and on. We could have a list as long as the Bible of things that are harmful for us, things that dry up our soul, things that actually hinder our prayers. I mean, if you want to get into that, I mean, we could go on and on about, this isn't going to be a bang your head kind of a pound the table sin kind of thing, but at the same time, it's hindering us. Those sins in our life, they wreck our soul and they ravage our hearts. And they're not good. Let's make 2024 a year then we're like, all right, since I'm remembering and revisiting, let's do some repenting too. And guess what? What's promised from those two things? Life and refreshing. You repent, and the minimum is freedom, guilt being gone, fear washed away, life and refreshing. And why don't we talk about repentance? Does that sound right? Does that sound good to anybody else? That sounds really good to me. I'm not raising my hands because Pastor's going to think I have to repent of something then. Well, good. You should. I'm just saying, turning away from things that are harmful in our lives and hurtful to God is a really good thing. So as we're examining our lives, as we're looking backwards and we're looking forwards, let's examine our hearts this year. What do I need to remember about God? How he's showed up? What do I need to revisit that maybe it's now's the season for that, or maybe now's the time, or oh yeah, God taught me that and I forgot about that. I think a lot of us, I know this from my own life. If I were to remember half of the stuff that God taught me and showed me and put into practice in my life a while back, I would be doing way better than I'm doing. So putting that, revisiting some of those things that maybe God did at one time, and I'm like, oh yeah, I should be doing that, shouldn't I? That's right. I there's a few of those that I can just think of right off the top of my head. I would be doing much better if I was doing those things. So what needs to be repented? What am I clinging to that is death? I had a flash of a story in my head, and I can't remember if I made it up or if it was something I read. When you have a vivid imagination, that happens all. A vivid imagination and a little fuzzy around the edges of reality sometimes. But it was something about someone who lost their cat and they kept sleeping with it at night and it was dead. And yeah, I think it's a real story. And it got really smelly. And that's what it's like when we're not repenting. Well, but I love it. It's just death, though. But I really like it. It's really smelly, but I like it. I can't let it go. Okay, well, hold on to that grudge then. Fine.
I don't think anybody would write that down. So yeah.
All right. Challenge accepted. I'm gonna find out what story that was. Sowing seeds of doubt into the whole congregation about the validity of your pastor. Man, this is horrible.
They're awake now.
You know, you can write in on a ballot. I'm going to write in on my notes what friendships need to be rejected. The next one, this is kind of similar to number two. What needs to be revitalized? What must be revitalized? And it's sort of similar, but where number two is like the revisited, it's like it was set aside. Maybe you forgot about it. Maybe it wasn't the right time for it, something in your life. But there's other scenarios in your life, like in Revelation chapter 2. Consider how far you've fallen, repent, and what? Do the things you did at first. Like refire that up. And I love how that verse starts. Consider. That's what we're doing as we're kind of the year end and starting the new year. We're taking some time to reflect. And all right, what needs to be adjusted in my life? How do I make this next year, instead of this next year happening to me, how do I position myself to walk through it with Jesus in a great way? And it says this in 2 Timothy, therefore I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. What needs to be ignited? What needs to be stirred up? What needs to be, what God thing is, did you let die and let burn out? You didn't just set it aside for a season or kind of forgot about it. It just died, right? It just shriveled up. And I think every one of us probably would have some of those things. You know, maybe you used to love people really well. You were good at just seeing past some of the flaws or whatever. And guess what? You got cynical. And you got a nasty little heart. But you were good at loving people. And this is kind of what we're talking about. Rekindle that who God wants you to be, that loving people. Maybe it's whatever. You could fill in the blanks with 100 different things. But what God thing in your life just shriveled up and died? And not because it got set aside, just because it died a slow, agonizing death. Usually because of sin or distraction. And now God's wanting you to rekindle that. Put the fire of God back in your heart and soul. What needs to be stirred up? What needs to be reignited in your heart? Amen? These don't sound very encouraging, Pastor. It's good. It's the last one here. What do you need to remember? What needs to be revisited? What needs to be repented? What must be revitalized or brought back to life? And what are you reaching forward for? You know, I find not in this church, but in some Christians' lives, because you guys would not fall in this category, it's easy to get kind of lulled into, this is life, next day. This is life, next day. This is life, next day. Read my Bible, love you, Jesus. Next day, this is life, read my Bible, hallelujah. Right? And we're just, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, when was the last time that you stood up and you raised your hands in prayer and you said, God, I see in my future you moving. We're standing here praying Wednesday night and we're like, we're praying for souls in 2024. We're painting a picture. You're the only creature on this earth that has the capacity to paint a reality in your mind that's not a reflection of real reality, that can be corrupted by the devil to be filled with fear and anxiety and unbelief, but it also can be filled with faith. What are you reaching forward for in 2024? What vision of your family and your life and God's working in you do you have for 2024? Well, I'm just going to do one day at a time. Right, you get only one day at a time. But at the same time, you're filled with faith. What are you exercising your faith with? What great vision are you reaching forward to? Well, it's just hard, Pastor, someday my kids aren't serving the Lord. Well, I get that. I'm not belittling that. Hey, I'm right there. I'll cry with you. I get it. But at the same time, God, I just see this future where my kids and my grandkids are serving the Lord. I see a future where I don't have this pain in my hip anymore. I see, right? You're just reaching forward. I see a future where I'm serving and teaching little kids Sunday school and helping babies in the nursery. I see that future. Just throwing that out there. I'm just, you know. You guys already don't like me today, and you're not saying anything, so I figure if I'm already in hot water, I'm just going to go the whole way. We'll just immerse, right? But I'm just challenging you today. Put your faith to work for 2024. So as you're contemplating, as you're thinking about the God things, as you're thinking about what you need to refire in your life, thinking about what you need to repent of, because you don't want to carry that dead cat into 2024. Just leave it in 2023, right?
thing hasn't meowed for 7 weeks. Just leave it be, right? But it was my pet. Shh. That little judgmental attitude, that little unforgiveness, that little sin that you're doing behind closed doors, just leave it in 2023. Repent and be free in 2024. And then as we do that, and we're stirring up those gifts that God has put in us, as we're excited about life now, we're saying, all right, God, what do you have for me in this year? I'm going to paint a picture. But God, I can just see, wow, I can see you saving my neighbor. I can see you ministering. I know I got this other friend at work. Man, they need a healing. I can see you. I could just see this day where they just say, boy, my back's really hurting today. And then I just lay hands on them. They get healed. Put your faith to work. What are you reaching for? What are you reaching for in 2024? What spiritual goals do you have? God, I could see the day where I could recite a whole chapter of the Bible. Then let that be this year. Let it be immersed in you. I just once in my life, I'd love to teach a Sunday school lesson or something, or I'd love to share Jesus with a friend. Like, let that be this coming year, right? We're in 2024. Let's let it be today. Let's reach for that. That's what faith does. It reaches. See, it says here, brothers and sisters, in Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Amen? So here's some contemplation as we close out today. Where are you at in 2024? Where are you at with Jesus? What has he been doing in your life that you forgot about? What do we need to call back to mind? What do we need to go back to that God stirred already did in our hearts, but we kind of set it on a shelf, either because it wasn't the right time or forgot about it? Let's remember those and apply them to our life. What needs to be repented of? Dead cat's gone in Jesus' name, right? What needs to be revitalized and brought back to life? What parts of my heart have been dead and they need to be reignited? What gifts that are planted in me needs to be fired up because it died an agonizing death? And then finally, what am I reaching forward for? What am I grabbing a hold of with my faith and reaching forward for? I remember when we were talking with Sarah about the Embrace Grace program. And there was just a little seed. There was just a little dream. Reaching forward for, I could just see. I could just, she was just, absolutely, I'm doing it today. No, not really. She was a little nervous. Right? But we're like, we can do this. We can do this. We can do this. And lives are being touched. Amen. Lives are being touched because we're reaching forward for that. Nope, I can see this happening. I can see God doing that. I can see, and I don't know about you guys. I don't know if you've ever stood up here. It can be a little intimidating, especially guys when you guys are turkeys like today. You're just mean, mean people. Just mean people. But I love you because I'm repenting. But I don't know exactly, but I think I get a pretty good idea when Paul said he comes with fear and trembling. There's just times, like, I don't mean because you're mean people. I just mean carrying the word of God and just like, okay, God. There's a lot of prayers, almost every week where I'm like, okay, Jesus, I've done what I can do. That's not much. You got to show up. You got to show up. God, you've got to show up. This without you showing, this is not, like, it's just words on a screen. I'm going to do my part, but God, you need to show up. And I reach and I grab a hold of that with faith. I'm like, okay, God, you're going to show up. You're going to do this. It's a prayer of desperation, but then I mix it with faith. Go, all right, God, you can do this. I can't do this, but you can do this. And we can just go through person by person that you just reached forward with faith. All right, God, you can do this. I can't do this, but you can do this. I'll do my part. You tell me what to do. I'll pull my end, you know. And you know how that is when, you know, you're carrying a piano or something and your five-year-old is helping. Okay, yep, they help, don't they? That's what we do. Like, we help. The six guys are carrying the piano. We're helping. Right? God's carrying this. We're helping, right? We got to say yes. We got to be obedient, but we can grab a hold of it with faith and say, all right, God, you got this. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you, Jesus, for being so faithful. We thank you for this next year that's going to be a fantastic year. God, we just thank you for hidden blessings. God, I thank you for fulfilled dreams, God. I thank you for prophecies coming to pass. I thank you for revelation. I thank you for new giftings and stirring things in people's hearts, God, that are fresh off from heaven's table, Lord. Thank you that we get to participate in that. And I bless this congregation today in Jesus' name. Amen.